All right. Good morning, everybody. Get set up here. All right. So, I had intentions of following the life of Jesus, teachings.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah.
I know what's next.
So I had a class on Thursday that really inspired me, that really filled me up. And I couldn't stop thinking about it, so I thought, you know what, I better share it, because I can't focus on anything else at the moment. So when that's the case, you just focus on, or you share what God's put on your heart, and we've heard it all before, but it's vision. It's vision, but there's different aspects to vision. And so that's what I want to go through today. You're going to hear the vision for the valley. You are. But it's for a purpose, right? Because, you know, as a church of RVFM, we have a vision, right? We're part of a vision. So what is vision? Strong's says vision is a sight that is a dream, a revelation, or oracle. Brown, Driver, and Briggs says, I really like this one, a divine communication. That one makes sense to me. You know, it's a relationship. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, revealing things, revelation. But, and there'll be some crowd participation today, this is way outside of what I usually do. I only have 4 scriptures at the moment. Unless something else pops into my head, I only have 4 scriptures, and that's a big deal because I usually have 40. So, and it's going to be a while until we get to a scripture, so it's pretty cool. But when you think of vision, aside from biblical definition, what is vision to you? Rita, what is vision to you?
Future.
Future, okay. Anybody else? We have a small setting, so we can do this kind of thing.
Clarity.
Drive. All right. Good. Yep. So some of my definitions were imagination, right? Because if I can't think it, I can't go there. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Imagination, where you want to go, a plan, a destination, seeing ahead, future, seeing who I am, seeing who we are as a body, but also as individuals, right? Do we have one? And I just said yes. As an organization, we have a vision, right? It's the vision for the valley. Does anybody know what the vision for the valley is?
Ooh.
Not you. Matt, you raised your hand.
Well, I was thinking the prophecy of the valley.
So those are 2 different things. So as RVFM, as a group, we have a vision. All right, so it's a network of 24 churches spaced every 15 to 20 miles up and down the St. Croix River Valley from Solon Springs to Prescott, and 20 miles in all directions by 2027. We'll get there. We'll get there. Don't get ahead. Now, is 20 miles the line that we can't cross?
No.
We go 20 miles and that's it. That's
no,
it.
No, it's not.
Okay. Hey, yes. So don't get hung up on 20 miles, right? Because it's going to get bigger. It's going to grow. It's going to. Yes, Marlene.
Jesse, the prophecy said 100 miles on each side of the.
That's the prophecy.
Yeah.
This is Pastor John's vision.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nope, that's okay. Because they're 2 different things. Yep, they're 2 different things. And now we're going to get to the prophecy so we don't confuse the two. But I believe the prophecy bred this vision. Because Pastor John didn't even know about this vision or this prophecy. He didn't know about this prophecy when the Lord laid on his heart the vision for the valley. But vision is progressive. Somebody laid those seeds a long time ago. And just because John didn't know about it, doesn't mean the Holy Spirit didn't know about it. Right? Doesn't mean the Holy Spirit wasn't able to plant a seed in somebody who knew nothing about a previous prophecy. It's progressive. One step after the other. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Right? I don't know anybody who's ever gotten the whole vision. Because we're just not ready for it. Some people get more than others because they're more trustworthy. They're ready. They do what God tells them to do. There was a long time where that wasn't me. Things are growing and moving, thank God. But, you know, I always look at Andrew Womack. God has entrusted him with a lot. But he has proven himself. Not that we can't do the same. Not that we're any least, right? We just have our own road. We have our own room to grow. We have our own places to go. I'm not supposed to do what Andrew Womack's doing. I can look at him and take knowledge and wisdom from him, right? I can look at that whole situation and say, praise God, when you listen to what God tells you to do, that's what can happen, right? I can use him as an example, but I'm not him. I have a different vision. So, real quickly, so this is the prophetic word, right? And I'm going to read it verbatim. And if you want to all see all this stuff, rvfm.net, .info, thank you. rvfm.info is where we have all this information. So if you want to go snoop around and look, feel free. In 1948, two prophetic words were given by two different individuals who did not know nor had even heard of each other. The first was given in Spooner, Wisconsin, by a missionary from an independent missions group, and 6 months later, the second was given in Luck. Spooner and Luck. Yeah. Go figure. Yeah. Just podunk nothing towns, right? Praise God he uses podunk nothing towns. Praise God he uses people that come out of podunk nothing towns, right? I came out of Hammond, man. If he can use somebody out of Hammond, whoo, we're doing all right. We're doing all right. So, the second was given in Luck, Wisconsin by Assembly of God missionary. One couple who had heard both prophecies said they were almost word for word as they were given. The prophecy basically stated that just before Jesus comes, a revival would start at the head of the St. Croix River and continue southward down the entire river. They stated that the effect of this revival would reach out 100 miles on each side of the river and continue until Jesus comes. They also stated in its path, several of the cities would be won entirely over to the Lord. Every person in that city saved. That's pretty awesome. Along with the salvation of thousands would also be the miraculous in the areas of finances, healings, deliverance, and all kinds. And this is the part I love. And a return of entire areas to biblical living. Once again, right up until Jesus coming in the rapture. So, that's the prophecy. I believe that's the prophecy that was planted in Pastor John, not even knowing that this prophecy existed. Because he was shocked when somebody approached him, because he was sharing the vision he had. Somebody approached him and said, hey, have you heard the vision or the prophetic word for the valley? Nope, never heard of it. But man, did that speak to him? Did that reinforce what God was doing in him? Vision. Vision. So I tell these stories to illustrate vision, right? That it is progressive. Because sometimes God plants a vision in someone, and if they don't communicate it, what's going to happen? It dies. God's going to give it to somebody else. And if they don't communicate it, he's going to give it to somebody else, and he's going to give it to somebody else, and to somebody else, until somebody finally speaks. Somebody finally communicates the vision. Now, that vision, now you need to pray about it, you need to seek it, you need to know beyond knowing that this is what God's speaking to you. But at some point, the vision has to be communicated. Otherwise, we all just, right? Well, maybe I'll go over here. Maybe I'll try this church. Maybe I just won't even go to church. I can have church by myself. Or maybe this religion will give me vision. Or maybe this, you know what I mean? We scatter. We scatter. Because vision brings unity. Vision brings unity. Without communicating the vision for the valley, would there be a vision for the valley? No. We would all just still be doing church. Sunday morning, let's show up. All right, but in my life and in our lives, how many of us are focusing on the vision for the valley? How many of us are seeking? How many of us even remembered that we had it? And I'm guilty of it all. Trust me, life can get in the way. Life can really pull you in all sorts of directions. And I think for me, this was much needed because I was being pulled in a lot of directions and I needed to be realigned. What's vision? What is my vision? What is the vision for the valley? Why did I get a part of this? Become a part of this? Why did I feel like the Lord was leading me to become a part of this? You know, and then you start thinking. I get off myself and I let the Spirit do his thing, right? And then I get built up and fired up and refreshed, and it's amazing what God can do when we get out of the way. So, everybody has a vision or can have a vision. We have the Spirit of the living God living inside of us. He's speaking to us, and each and every one of us has a vision. Something that God is telling us specifically. So we have the vision as a whole through our VFM. That's this organization's vision, but there is the vision within the vision. What is my vision of what is my part in this? What is my part in this? All right, and if you don't feel like you're a part of this, what is your part? If you're being called to missions, what's God telling you about missions? I want to support you. I want to help you. I will say the vision for the valley is the focus, but I'm not going to turn down somebody who has a vision to go preach the gospel, right? Just because you have a different vision doesn't mean you can't be used and doesn't mean we're going to shun you as a church. Sorry, you got to go somewhere else for that. Missions is down the street, right? That's not how it is. We can support people. We can support your vision, but if that vision is never cast, if that vision is never thought of or shared, I can't help you. The Holy Spirit can't help you because until I speak the vision, am I going to be given anything else? Right? I got a portion of a vision, but how am I supposed to get the next if I don't share what the vision is? So Marv, if you would. So, does everyone have the same vision? No, because we're all unique, right? We're all tailor-made. We are equally created, not equally, we are uniquely created. No two people are the same. We're all different in this room, and you'll never find, I don't even care if you're an identical twin, there's still a difference. There's still a difference. I know I work with a guy. Him and his brother were like as identical as you can possibly get. Like they were studied by the U of M, like poked and prodded and all this other crazy stuff because they were so identical. But they're still different. They still have differences. They still have a specific purpose, a specific vision for their life. So, how do we get vision? Participation. How do we get vision? Prayer. Right? I have seeking, yes. God, ultimately, right? He gives the vision. But if we're not in relationship with God, if I'm shunning God, if I'm walking away from God, but God can use others. God has used many people to speak into my life because I wasn't always open to receiving directly from God. Right? He didn't take offense. He just used somebody else. That's pretty cool because he's a good God. Right? He loves us. So you have this piece of paper in your hand. My first scripture, I just went like 20 minutes almost without a scripture. Just unbelievable. So proud of myself. So always remember that this is not a pressure thing. Right? It's you don't have to worry about this. Just let God speak to you. Right? We don't have to, oh God, what's my vision? What's my vision? What's my purpose? And anxiety and all this other stuff. That's not what it's about. So Habakkuk, this is a pretty popular scripture when it comes to vision, but it's good because it says all that needs to be said. Habakkuk 2:2. Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. There's a lot here. So the Lord said, write the vision. So a vision was given. He was faithful to do his part. He gave the vision. Now we write the vision, and that's what this piece of paper is for. I want you to date it, and I want you to write your specific. This isn't, and it may be specific to the vision for the valley. If they, you know, mine is specific to the vision for the valley because I've committed myself to the vision for the valley. So mine is specific to the vision of the valley. Yours may not be. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what God has been speaking to you. It could be very simple. It could be a few sentences. I don't know. But God is speaking to every one of us. The Holy Spirit was breaking down walls this morning. He was setting people free. Yeah. Right? Because where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And where there is freedom, there is vision, there is purpose. There is everything we need for this life. And if you don't get it right now, but get something down. Meditate on it. Lord, is this it? Is this it? You don't have to share it with me. Actually, we are going to all get in a line at the end of service, and I'm going to hand you the mic, and you're all going to share your vision. No, seriously, we are. Just kidding, we're not. But I do want this to start something. I want this to start something in you. I want this to plant a seed. Okay. All right. What's next? What's next for me in this, Lord? What's next? Show me what's next. Give me that divine communication. Because I love when the Lord speaks. It's not just something audio. A whole movie can explode in front of you. Right? When the Lord speaks to me, it's not just a word. I see things. Right? That's how good God is. And he's showing you that stuff for a reason. So, as it says, write the vision. And Pastor John Neitzel made a really good point at that at class, and I had to really ponder this, was, is my vision worth running for? You know, because it says, so he who reads it may run with it. Because the vision doesn't have life until I communicate it. But Is what I'm communicating worth following? Is what I'm saying drawing people in? Is what I'm saying creating disciples, people wanting to get on board, wanting to follow this? Because the vision for the valley would never happen if what Pastor John was saying didn't have any effect on anybody. Because I can think God's telling me something and share it, and crashes and burns, man. I've been there. But is it something worth running for? And these are not set in stone, right? This can change. This can evolve. Don't worry, the word evolve is not a bad word. It's just a word. When used properly, it's a good word. All right? Our walk evolves. Our walk grows. Your vision will evolve and grow. So this is not something that's set in stone, but I want you to have something that you can go back to. I don't care if you put it on a refrigerator. I don't care what you do with it. But go back to it. All right, is this it, Lord? Is this it? So I just mentioned a minute ago how do we get vision, and I'm going to give you my testimony about how I got vision. And hopefully it speaks to you. But to relay this properly, I have to start at the beginning. So I was a young boy. I was probably 10, 11, 12 years old, thereabouts. And now, Mom, you can't feel bad about any of this. And it has nothing to do with you, but you can't feel bad about any of this. So when I was a young boy, we had bunk beds, and I had a top bunk bed, and on that bunk bed were these metal rails, so I didn't fall out. And I had a dream, and I don't think it was a dream. I think it was more of an apparition, where I could see myself laying in that bed. And on that pole were two little things. And all they did was laugh at me. They laughed and they pointed, and they laughed and they pointed, and I hated it. I hated it. I didn't know what to do. I was stuck, and I could just see these little imps laughing. But as a 12-year-old boy, I don't know what, you know, what do I do? What do I do? And so finally I got the strength, and I swatted them away, and I woke up, and I didn't do anything else about it. I was just like, weird dream. But as my life progressed, I became one of the most self-conscious people I think I've ever known. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror without finding 50 million things wrong with me. I couldn't interact with people without thinking, am I doing the right thing? What am I doing? I'm doing this wrong. And it was all about me and what I was doing wrong. It took the focus off of Christ, because it was an attack. That's exactly what it was. And that's why I say pray for your children. Because the devil doesn't care how old you are. If he can affect you from a little child, he's going to affect you as a little child. Because that's, plant that seed early. And I didn't think anything quite about it, and now as an adult, when I think back, those were spirits. Now, was I demon-possessed? No. But I was being influenced. My judgment was clouded. My clarity was clouded because all I was focusing on was me. Right? And so I went through high school like this, just, man, was it, it would paralyze me. Like, oh my gosh, what do I do? It sucked. It did. And as I'm growing and getting older and getting ready to graduate, and I don't know what I'm doing with my life, right? I don't want to go to school. I hate school. Because when your judgments start getting clouded, you start to not like anything. Because nothing's working for me. Everything I do seems like I'm failing at it, so why do I want to continue to do things? Because whether or not, and that's the thing, it was all perceived. I was a smart kid. I was. But I talked myself out of being a smart kid. I was a talented kid, but it didn't matter what I thought. It didn't matter what other people thought about me, because what I thought about me overrode what anybody else thought about me. And it carried on. It carried on through the Marine Corps, and it only got worse in the Marine Corps, unfortunately. It got worse in the Marine Corps. So my vision is becoming clouded. I can't see myself doing anything, let alone something good. Because I don't do things good. I mess things up. Even when I'm not messing something up, my mind has convinced me that I've messed it up. That's how twisted this can get. And that's where depression, anxiety, and stress and all this stuff comes in. But Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on to your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Directing your path, that's vision. That's that direction. That's the focus. But when I'm trying to figure it out all on my own, I've lost it. I've totally taken my focus off the one who can help me and put a burden on myself that I can't carry. So let God direct the vision. This doesn't have to be a stressful thing. It shouldn't be a stressful thing. It should be, Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, do your thing. Lead and guide. That's one of his job descriptions, is to lead and to guide. So this went on for many, many years. I'm trying to think how old I was when I finally... I suppose I was early 30s. Late 20s, early 30s. You know, I'm out doing my stupid stuff. And you've all heard this story. But I finally listened. Something finally switched. A switch was flicked in my head. I'm at this nasty little party, and I'm looking around, thinking like, what the heck? And I hear the Holy Spirit say, this is not you. This is not who you are. And all of a sudden, bang. I don't know why it took that, but it was, this is not who I am. I don't quite know who I am yet, but this is not who I am. And so I left. And that started this process because I had to get rid of the junk to establish relationship again. I had to get help, and I did get help. I got counseling. I started talking to people. It's amazing what happens when you could talk to people. They'll help you if you ask. It's weird. I didn't ever want to talk to anybody, and weird, I needed a lot of help. But when we talk to people, when we open ourselves up for relationship, it's amazing what can change. And hearing this 10, 15 years ago would have made me go, oh, God, I don't want to talk to people. Because that's what it did to me. But I knew this is not who I am. So I had a truth. Finally, a truth set hold in me. A truth of, okay, this is not who I am. Well, then who am I? And then that led to getting in the Word. That led to good teaching. If you want some good teachers, I'll give them to you afterwards if you're interested. But that led to some verses. So John 16:13. So this is just the first part of that verse. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So I had to get over my thing with the Holy Spirit. I had to get over the discomfort. I had to get over the awkwardness. And I had to say, you know what? Lead me and guide me. And when I opened myself up, he did. Because I knew it. I knew it was the Holy Spirit who spoke that to me. Because I hadn't lost everything. I haven't flushed everything. You know, I still knew who the Holy Spirit was. But it's amazing when you get in the Word, the revelation that can come from the Word about what He's capable of and how He can help. So I got help. And this was a process. I mean, this took probably almost 10 years to get where I was becoming usable. And it was hard, but it was worth it because I was seeing changes in myself. I was seeing growth. I was losing the depression and the anxiety, and I was growing and seeing the Word and understanding the Word through help. And I started to discover who I truly was in Christ. John 3:17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I felt like the most condemned person alive. I had convinced myself that Jesus didn't like me and God wanted to squish me. I convinced myself of it. But I read stuff like this and say, wait a minute, I'm not condemned by Christ? Well, then who's condemning me? Oh, well, I can fight Him. Right? I can fight Him. Because I'm starting to understand what the Word of God says. I'm starting to understand that I am a son of God. I am an heir. I have been endued with power from on high. And here we go. I can be anxious for nothing. The peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard my heart. And that's the stuff, I didn't understand it. But I said, you know what, I'm just going to start standing on it. And it's amazing the revelations that will come when you just start standing. You don't always have to understand it. Just start proclaiming it. Because either the Holy Spirit's going to help you, or He's going to send somebody across your path who will. Or maybe you'll just stumble across some teaching that just opens your eyes. So I'm not the condemned, and you're not the condemned, you're the redeemed. We don't have to walk under that junk. And another verse that really affected me was Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." And we can change that to say this new covenant. Right? We don't have to get burdened under, you know who we are, know what your covenant is, don't get burdened down by the law, right? "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So I'm struggling, right? And I read this verse, meditate on the Word. Meditate on God day and night. Well, that's overwhelming. Because I know what I'm meditating on. I'm fresh out of the Marine Corps, not necessarily fresh, but things stick with you. I'm meditating on destruction and hurt and just the stuff that was taught to me, man. Meditating on not liking people because people hurt you. Meditating on not liking people because, man, when you come out of certain situations, you just think everybody's dumb. Because I was so smart. Jeez. The things we convince ourselves of. I was as dumb as a god. Because I didn't have Christ, right? And without Christ, my perspective changed. People weren't there to help. People were there just to get in the way. And if I could separate myself from people, then great. Great. But I miss so much in life because of it. You know, I don't live in regret, but I think of all the relationships that were lost that could have been effective in my life. You know, some kid gave me a prophecy when I was a senior in high school. And I didn't know what to do with myself. And he says, you know what? I feel like the Lord's telling you should be a youth pastor. Then I blew the guy off. Youth pastor, I'm not going to be a youth pastor. But then I didn't know what else to do, and I settled on the military because I knew they'd take me, because I couldn't get into college, or the college I wanted to get into. But what if? What if I said, you know what, God, what is this youth pastor thing? What's this about? What if I gave it more time than the 1 second? Youth pastor? Nope. What if I would have prayed? What if I would have meditated? What if I would have said, Lord, is this your direction? Because I guarantee if I would have done that, he would have gave me vision. So I hope you're seeing where I'm coming from here. This is a process. This is a process. It's progressive. So I just want to share real quick, because it's almost time, just a couple experiences that shaped my vision. So, and then I'm going to give you my vision, and then we'll be done. So I had a dream. I have very lucid dreams. I remember dreams. But this dream was different. This dream was very different. And in this dream, I'm praying. And I start praying in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, I'm enveloped in something. And this was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And you know how like a speaker reverbs, like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's just what I felt around me. Like the air was just electric and moving. And I felt this power inside of me that was literally going to make me explode. And I wasn't scared, but I really thought I was going to blow up because I could not contain this. I could not control this. And I started, and I really thought I was going to pop. And I woke up, and the next thing I know, I'm back in this chair praying in tongues. And another gentleman comes up to me and says, can I pray with you? And then that was it. But in seeking this, that was a taste of the power of God. That was a taste. And I couldn't handle a smidgen of it. But that was a taste of what's available to us. Another one. So this is what's shaping my vision. I was at a Toby Mac concert. It was a pretty good concert, actually. But I'm sitting at this concert, and they're taking a break between shows, and this place is packed. And down in the middle, you know, they got a stage, and this guy's talking about, I forget what fundraiser it was. And he's talking and talking, and I'm just thinking, wow, that's amazing. This guy has 20,000 people just captivated, right? They're listening, sharing with what he has to say. He has this audience. And I distinctly heard the Holy Spirit say, that could be you. And I was like, phew. I said, you could do that. So I had a choice right there to say, no, I can't. Or I had a choice to say, okay, Lord, show me what this means. And I haven't got the full vision yet. But I know how many people were there, and I know what he was doing. And the Holy Spirit told me I could do that. How I get there, I don't know yet. I don't. But it's shaping things in me. It's helping me to see what's ahead. Another instance. This was when River Valley was building their classrooms. And I was thinking, wow, what cool. Cool, people are going to be teaching in this classroom. That's really awesome. Lord said, hey, you can teach in these classrooms. It's like, what? You know, like, really? Because I don't think I'm anywhere near that, but it doesn't matter what I think. Right? I can either get in my own way or I can say, all right, Lord, I accept that. Now, when's that going to happen? I'm not sure. But it sparked something. It sparked vision. It sparked me looking ahead instead of just focusing on the moment. All right, there is more. There is more. You are good. You have a plan. You know what I need to be doing. So here's my vision. And like I said, this can always change. This is it for now. It's to draw people to Christ through the demonstrations of his power, while giving hope through his love in the gospel. To help people realize their true potential, through effective, understandable teaching and ministering. To help others like Christ helped me. That's my vision. And I believe that's going to happen within RVFM. And I don't say this stuff to pat myself on the back. Look at my vision. It's a pretty good vision, isn't it? I mean, I'd love you to... I'm speaking my vision. Here's me speaking my vision. Communicating my vision to you. This is my vision. And I hope that you get my heart in all this, that each and every one of us has this. Each and every one of us can receive this. And you know what? There may be a little more of a process because I don't know where you are. But I know God's speaking. I know the Holy Spirit's speaking. I know you're not dead, so you still have a purpose and a plan. You're here. You're here. All right. So seek vision. Your specific vision. All right? Vision is progressive and should be communicated. And let people assist you. Let people help you. How can anybody help me in my vision if I don't share my vision? Right? Communication gives life. And it goes more, it's not just vision. Communicating with others gives life. Man, I've been blessed by so many people by just talking to them and listening to what they have to say and share. We will be much more purposeful and effective when we let God give the vision. And the last thing, if your vision is lacking, help someone else accomplish theirs. Right? If you don't have it yet, don't worry about it. Hop on somebody else's vision. And I guarantee through that process, God's going to start showing you stuff. But don't segregate yourself. Don't think that this is going to happen because you've just accepted Christ. I'm glad you accepted Christ, but there's more to it. There's more to it. There's more to it. And the more we let him work in us, the more we seek that relationship, the more that's going to happen. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you that you are so, so good. And you love each and every one of us in here, and you love each and every person outside of this building as well, Father. And I thank you that you're setting in our hearts and you're establishing our hearts your vision for us to help others, to help others, to bring others to you, to bring others the love and joy and peace that you possess, because the Lord, you know we need peace right now. And Father, I thank you as we go out this week that you are bringing opportunities. Bringing opportunities across our path to either be helped or to help in all that we do, Father. And I just thank you for this. And I thank you as we go this week, I speak your safety and your blessings and your love over everybody in this room. In Jesus' name.